All right, here we go. Game one tonight. Finally here, man. Finally here. Panthers back for a third straight trip to the finals. I still, every time I say it, it's we had some meetings here with the company yesterday, and just standing up there, and a lot of people are coming around, man. Like, you may not be a hardcore fan of hockey. You know, I don't get hockey thing. I didn't grow up around it. I'm just, you know, I'm not. But you want to know how they're doing, and you want to know, like, how they do it and what makes them so good that all of a sudden they have the best team in hockey, basically over the last 3 years, because nobody else has done what they've been able to do, winning all these series, haven't lost a series since that Las Vegas, that first year, won it last year, and now 4 wins away from winning it for a second straight year. Just amazing to watch it, the development. Some of the original guys are still here, Ekblad and Barkov, and then to start bringing in the other pieces and trading for pieces and picking up guys from other teams, and just seems like everything they've done, and again, I listened to some of the hockey experts last night again, just raving about some of the moves that they made at the trade deadline, and this is the best he's ever played, and we haven't seen him play like this for like 5 or 6 years, and the third line, the Marchand line, as they call it, just the way everybody's playing. Big Seth Jones playing a lot of minutes and chewing it up, playing great. It's just been fun, talented, tough. Their experience, just everything. And so here they go against the best player in the game, Connor McDavid, and Edmonton, after going 7 games. Crazy, crazy 7-game series a year ago. Panthers take the first 3 games. You're thinking, holy smokes, this is unbelievable. They lose the next 3 games. Game 7, pull it out. Still remember that Reinhardt goal like yesterday. So here we are. This thing starts back up. Big Bob, again, playing great between the pipes, and just can't say enough. So, yeah, man, it's going to be fun. We don't get a lot of these, obviously. This doesn't happen in this town where we're talking about a lot of championships. So you get one of these, especially with the Heat falling off here a little bit, trying to figure some things out. Actually, the Heat in our situation – we haven't seen in a long time, to be honest. A long, long time. Last year was the first year in a long time, Woody, where they didn't have some development players play at a high level that were really good role players. The first time, in my opinion. I still don't know what to think about all their first-round picks outside of Tyler Hero and Bam. They got a lot, but some of you are sold on the center. I guess when he makes second team all rookie, made the second all rookie team. But they need more. They need more. And they whiffed on a trade with Rozier. Just a flat out whiff. Just real bad. So the Panthers come in and said, oh, you left things open. We're not going to be playing the same time here recently, huh? Deep into these playoffs. So it's just a chance to pick up more and more fans, and you know who more of the players are. Would you agree, Woody? Like, people now know who Tkachuk is. They know who Big Bob is. They know Barkov. They know these guys are winning awards, playing big. And I think the popularity down here is growing, man, for this team. Not to mention the new facility in Fort Lauderdale helps. All that stuff helps the sport.
Well, I could tell you firsthand that the younger generation is getting into hockey.
Yeah.
I mean, my kids are into it. I know a lot of the kids seem to be getting into it. So it's good, man. It's good that the team is relevant and playing this way. And, yeah, people, you're going to get a younger generation of fans involved, right?
I got news for you. Which is important. If they were an average team and missing on a bunch of guys, I called them the 401k guys, are coming down here at the end of their careers to play one last time, live down on the beach so the family could come down and enjoy it. We have way too many of those guys. They're coming down for a last free vacation, getting paid by the Panthers. We're picking up the tab, and now it's a destination for guys that want to win championships, that want to come down here. Everybody wants to play in this system, you know. So I just look at what they've done. If they weren't good, that thing would be half full. There'd be 8,000 or 9,000 at games, 7,000. And the Knights teams were bad in the middle of the week, there'd be less. It would be for, you know, if you've been going for a long time, you know, not talking about you, but you know what it looks like. And right now, my God, those tickets for games 3 and 4, Woody, are you're gonna pay. You're gonna pay to see by far our best team right now and doing some unbelievable things with a chance to win another championship. I can't even imagine. I said it to start the show. Connor McDavid, best player in hockey. Everybody's going, what about the pressure and this and that? And I don't think Panthers really feel any pressure. I mean, you look at those guys, I just don't. It's not like it's their first time around. But Connor McDavid, you're the best player in hockey. You're Canadian. And you're not just representing Edmonton. You're representing Canada. You've won every other award there is. You've won, you know, well, they won that Canada beat the U.S. and won that event during the All-Star break. He's been an MVP 3 times. But the one thing, he's even a MVP in the finals in the playoffs last year for that award. But one thing you haven't won is the one I'll guarantee he'd give up those MVPs for is to win a Stanley Cup championship. You ask almost any guy. Now, look it. The great ones want the MVPs and the championships. Tom Brady, Michael Jordan. But you ask those guys that tell you, man, it's great winning Defensive Player of the Year, but it's great being an MVP. But, man, I'd have given anything to be able to win a championship. So Connor McDavid doesn't have that. And, by the way, a lot of people think they got a good chance, that they're a deeper team. Although the problem is, they're not the only deeper team. What the Panthers have added, they're in that same boat right now. Ed Jovanovski will join us at 9 o'clock. By the way, Omar Kelly's going to join us at 8 o'clock, and we'll get going. By the way, Woody, it's a great question. What are you selling the fans with all this stuff that's going on right now and what the team has done and not done on this team? And of course, we're still waiting to see if they're going to add or when they'll add a veteran cornerback, when I'm guessing the price has come down a little bit. But a lot of people want to know what we're doing. It's very fair. What are we doing, especially if we lose some of these guys, what are we doing and what are we telling the fan base? Because it sure doesn't feel like it did 2 years ago or even last year. And I know last year ended up not working out. I get it. So anyway, we'll talk more about that. We got a lot more stuff to get to here this morning, as this is a weird one. Colorado goes for a sweep of the Marlins today. Watching this story the other night on their record pace, they haven't won a series like forever. Going back to last year, hadn't won a series, and now they're going for a sweep of the Marlins. They got the series.
It's okay. There won't be any outrage.
No.
Think, any of the Marlins,
we're just watching.
The Marlin media will
hey, man,
be okay.
I watch. I still.
You watch everything.
I do.
How's this match going, by the way? Oh, Coco's pulling away, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
She's too good.
She's gonna lost the first set.
She's going to have a chance to win.
Came
this.
Back,
No. She's tough, man. Coco is good. All right. We got to go, man. We're going to tell you about the main man, Anthony Caliendo, with the Business Broker Experts. I love talking about that little fireball, man. He is something else. He is something else. Joe, you always, what's going on, main man? He goes, hey, I'm out marketing, man. I got new business. I'm marketing it. I got some people interested, trying to put together this deal right now. Got it all set up, figured out what the guy's business is worth, and I am rolling. And I said, well, how's that going? He goes, Joe, I got a book full of people looking to buy businesses down here. He goes, now I'm looking for people that are ready to sell their business. Matter of fact, he's got 5 questions that he wants to ask you. Are you tired of the stress? Are you tired of the risk? Are you tired of all the competition? Are you tired of all the employees? Are you just tired of being tired all the time? That's usually Friday night. You come home and go, I got to get rid of this thing, honey. Well, if you said yes, it's time to call Anthony Caliendo at the Business Brokers, and he'll take care of you, man. I'm telling you right now, doesn't matter how specialized, doesn't matter what size, he will find somebody that will buy your business and make you a lot of money. And by the way, you got to sit down first and figure out what it's worth. That's a free value to you of $2,500. When he'll figure out exactly what it's worth, you sign off on it and let's go. Go call him now. 1-800-THE-MAIN-MAN. That's 1-800-843-6246. Ask for Anthony Caliendo. You don't have to ask very long. That guy is full of energy, man. That guy's a walking coffee pot. The Main Man. Visit at the web at themainman.com.
We are trying to maximize our opportunity, and I think we have a good amount of young players that are very, very football focused, and their approach every day gives them the chance to be productive NFL players early. I think the days of, you know, just the way that I see patterns of roster construction, the days of putting rookies on or entire rookie class on ice, I think are over. You have to have guys that have the appropriate mindset that they will do what needs to be done to do right by their teammates.
There you have it, man. That really, for all Dolphin fans, I've said this long, that there you have it. So, and I understand what we've done over the last couple of years. We have paid a whole bunch of older guys a lot of money. We had an old roster. The year before, we traded for a whole bunch of guys. And finally, this is the first time now. This is the first time they've come out and said, I am so glad Mike McDaniel said that. So now it's about Chop Robinson. It's about Patrick Paul. It's about Kenneth Grant. It's about Jonas Savinea and Jordan Phillips. It's going to be about Cam Smith, good or bad, Storm Duck. A lot of those guys are going to be playing. So we sit here going, let's patch it in with a guy that had a good career or is being really good. He's coming back. I think he's got a little bit left. And then we still have a lot of injuries. And so they are slowly going back to what a lot of teams do. We had those two small draft classes. And finally, they all got together and said, Chris Greer, you got to earn your money. The trades are easy. Just to go out and get a great player, give up a lot of draft picks, and you got somebody that's proven out there that's going to cost you a lot of money, and you're going to extend it and puts us in just a crappy situation. I like this. I think Chop Robinson and Patrick Paul, they want to be great. Just talking to some of the guys out there that said, hey, man, these guys, they're on a mission. And I think they're telling this whole draft class, hey, man, doesn't matter where you got drafted from 1 through 7, get ready. Get ready. And Mike said something that has been a pet peeve where we draft these guys and they don't play. Unless 9,000 guys get hurt. Bring them friggin' in. Let them get their feet wet and let's go. Let's see how we truly draft. Or playing a guy 3 or 4 years down the road. Doesn't do me any good. Damn guy, if he does play well in his third or fourth year, great. So he's finally playing well. Now you got to give him a new contract. I like that. I thought that's the best soundbite Mike McDaniel has had in a long, long time. There you have it. You want to know the game plan? There it is. We're going to play a lot of young guys, and we're going to develop them through these OTAs because they're going to be here in mini camp. And they know when they come back, they're asking to have a chance to start or play a lot of football. Love it. That's it. By the way, it'd be nice to see us hit on these 1s and 2s right away. Come in. Chop and Patrick Paul are going to play. I'm guessing Chop's basically along with the rotation with Chubb and Phillips. going to play a lot of football. And Patrick Paul, he's your left tackle, man. He's it. Go with it. Let's do it. So, but that's the first time. That's the first time I've really heard him come out. And hey, this is the, you just can't do it through money. And I'm sure Mike's getting frustrated giving a 30-year-old guy extensions, and then you get too much drama, or you get a guy that is a turd because he's got his money and it's guaranteed, and now you got to deal with it. I would like to see our team built around guys that we draft. Now, I know you can't do it totally, and you still got to go out and get top free agents that fit what you're doing. But we do have to get this thing. Those two thin draft classes that we had, and then on top of it, they haven't been very good, just killed us. Just set us back. Just set us so far back. And by the way, you're not going to hit on all of them. Chris always says that. He's right. Nobody hits on all of them. He's right. But you got to hit on some of them, man. Got to hit on some, especially in key positions. So, again, why they're saying this now, it doesn't change. Like, I'm with Mike. Let's play him. But that doesn't mean that I want the Jets and Patriots jumping past us and we're sitting there in dead last going, well, don't worry about it. We're setting it up, man. It's looking good. It's looking good next year and the year after when we get more guys. No. Those are done. We don't want to keep adding on years. We want to see you play all those young guys, and we still want to see you win a lot of games, many as possible. So, anyway, that was – I get that. That's the first time I heard that soundbite. I missed that yesterday. That really says – can you play it one more time? I know you think this is –
we are trying to maximize our opportunity, and I think we have a good amount of young players – that are very, very football focused, and their approach every day gives them the chance to be productive NFL players early. I think the days of, you know, just the way that I see patterns of roster construction, the days of putting rookies on or entire rookie class on ice, I think are over. You have to have guys that have the appropriate mindset that they will do what needs to be done to do right by their teammates.
All right. So gonna be less about money for the first few years. Those guys gonna want to play their ass off, do whatever it takes, gonna be around, and it's about getting paid down the road. But they know they got to come in and they're going to get a chance to play, and we need to add this. We still don't have enough good young guys because, again, it was neglected for a couple of years, and we gave up all those draft picks and trades and all the other things. But there you have it, man. Like, finally I've heard something, man. That was great. I wish could have heard that out of Chris a little bit more. But I do understand now. The pressure doesn't change. I'm guessing Steve and Ross and the family aren't going, hey, guys, as long as we got a couple good young players, I'm cool with 4 or 5 wins. No. He goes to most of those games, and he wants to know that his team's got a chance to win football games. So, all right. Hey, man, that kind of made my day. I missed that yesterday. Woody, I just, at least.
I was letting you run with you. You were fired up there.
Well, the other thing ain't working. You remember all the trades? Those trades, man.
I remember, yes.
And then all those big extensions. You can't run and hide from the draft, man. You can't run and hide. You got it. That's your number one job. Your number one GM job is to draft well. That's your number one job. You. That's your job. Can't have 3 or 4 guys and go, well, hey, don't worry about this draft class. And I know this guy didn't play well as a second or third round pick as our top pick, but look at what we gave up for him. Woo! Look at that nice little toy. That man can play. All right, we got to go to break. We've got a lot more stuff to get to here this morning. Coffee kicking in?
Yeah, I was saying, did you take a shot or something?
I did. I went back there and got a little jacked up on the...
You're not drinking the DJ Zog stuff, are you?
I went a little Cuban, yes.
Did you? That stuff gets me, man. I don't know why.
I can
drink anything else. That stuff just gets me jittery.
You know, and the people that grow up drinking it when they're little kids, it doesn't even affect them.
I see guys like...
I know some Cuban guys that, like...
Well, like Victor will bring them to the, you know, the UF football games.
Yeah.
He brings one for everyone else to share out of the little cups, and then he just drinks it straight from the thing. Yeah, Dono does the same thing, too. He drinks it straight from the cup.
So Victor goes, Joe, I've been drinking it since I was two.
What?
He goes, I got off the bottle. I got on Cuban coffee. That's the way it works.
Guy's willing to put anything in his body.
You're a bad guy. You're a bad, bad guy. You can't really poor Vic, man. Vic's probably still emotional and got a nice present for Josh Allen for his wedding. he's in a really good mood.
I wonder what he sent them. He sent him a card, a little check in it or something.
Weird combination. He loves the Canes and the Bills. What the hell happened to that guy when he was a young kid?
And don't forget Jake Paul.
Oh, God. Okay.
That might be his most...
Must just love.
That is number one.
Heard he called him, asked, can I get in on your reality show? You think I can get in?
He's got that fight coming up. I'm sure Vic will be there.
I haven't seen Vic lately. Is he still lifting weights? Does he still look pretty good?
Probably. I haven't seen him either, though.
All right. Hey, I want to tell you, but you're going to take a shot at him anyway, just because that's what you do. Baptist Health South Florida, man, what a great sports medicine program. Love telling everybody. That's... Almost every day somebody will go, hey, Joe, I hear you talking about those guys at Baptist Health. Where do the pros go again? It's like all of a sudden you tell them that Inter Miami, the Heat, the Panthers, the Dolphins, FIU, and FAU sports programs all use the doctors at Baptist Health South Florida, and all of a sudden they're going, hey, can you get me set up? And I go, well, I can, but you can do it on your own. Not a big deal. They're going to set it up. You can go to one of the – I always call them one of the team doctors who, you know, are working – 5-6 days a week, they're those getting it after it, and then from there they'll set you up if you need a surgery with one of the many specialists they put together. There's a reason you're a top sports medicine program, and you got to have great specialists. Everything to do with the knee, shoulder, foot and ankle specialist, hand specialist, back specialist, hip and knee replacement, Achilles specialist. We got three doctors to do nothing but Achilles. That's how bad the Achilles problem is becoming. Nobody stretches that Achilles. Hey, I will tell you this, though. Three great facilities to go to make it real convenient for you. Down in Dade County, Doctors Hospital at Coral Gables, and then, of course, right over at Hard Rock, right there at the border of Dade and Broward, right next to the training facility. They got a great facility there and up in Broward. 595 in Pine Island Implantation. We got you covered, man, with everything. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho. One go every day, man. It's about getting you healthy. Back out playing the sports you love the most.
And now, it's time for Hollywood's Headlines. Without further ado, here's Hollywood.
All right, Woody, what do you have for us today?
All right, Joe, by the way, not sure that forecast is going to change a whole lot here.
Thanks,
probably man. Like 2 or 3 months.
You know what that means?
We need to find you an indoor tennis facility.
No, you know what today is?
Mall walking.
You got it.
Yeah.
See, all my mall walking buddies, I'll see you out there.
Sawgrass?
I think I'm going Sawgrass. It's a nice...
A big walk, yeah.
Big walk, yeah. Big walk, yeah.
You can pick up some nice stuff while you're there.
No, it's closed.
Do you ever shop?
I don't. Only speak for me. No, I got to tell you, the wife's pretty good. She gets out there and she walks too. Not looking
and buys
around.
You, and buys you
she
clothes.
Does not. Now, don't get me wrong. She knows where every store is.
Yeah? All right. All right, Joe, here we go. LeBron and Brian Windhorst are continuing to fight here.
They used to be so close.
What happened? As you know, I'm not a huge fan of some of the NBA personalities on that network, but I find Brian Windhorst to be very good at his job and relatively harmless.
But I think in the past I've seen LeBron go tell Windhorst, he'd say, hey, man, you remember, right? And what? And he'd go, yeah, and it would, like, gave him great credibility.
So Windhorst said something about this new Mind the Game podcast that LeBron did, in LeBron replied, sucks they have to listen to guys who know nothing about basketball talk about basketball. Windhorst was essentially saying, he was talking about the interview, and I actually unfortunately stumbled across this interview, and it was terrible. They had Luka Doncic on, Steve Nash, LeBron, and they had Luka Doncic on, and it was awful. And they just kind of did some X's and O's stuff, like real intricate stuff.
Oh, and they didn't do the down and very dirty little soap about, opera Dallas no, stuff.
And very little about that stuff. And it just was a borderline unwatchable, I mean, I turned it off, podcast that those guys did. But, yeah, LeBron just dunked on this guy again for whatever reason. Because I guess Windhorst said that we want to talk about the drama. You know, he sits down with, you know, guys like Luka Doncic, and he's right.
I'm guessing
that's what people want to hear. Like,
I know, but I'm guessing that podcast does just fine. Even
I'm sure
he wants to talk about his kids for 30 minutes, it's fine.
But it was, yeah, a little bit of a rough watch there. I don't know if anyone's stumbled across that one. Not as good as like
how
his
the hell
shop
he picked
stuff.
Steve Nash of all people to do the show with. I like Steve Nash, but that's
I don't even know how many podcasts LeBron's on at this point. He's got that whole network, I guess.
I'm guessing he's doing just fine.
But that one was not great.
He's got a company now that's doing documentaries, sports documentaries.
Yeah, sure. That's why he moved out to L.A. Get all this stuff rolling. All right, Joe, this is an interesting one here. Topps is going to be replacing Lionel Messi autograph cards here. According to a report from The Athletic, a 2022-23 Dynasty UEFA Champions League Messi autograph that failed to be authenticated by grading company PSA has prompted the potential replacement of cards signed by the soccer legend in the set. Following our investigation, we will proceed with remakes of the Topps Dynasty Lionel Messi cards, a Topps Collector Support senior manager told The Athletic. This is not good. By the way, when these kinds of things happen, because it'll say on the back of the card, this was witnessed by a Topps, you know, representative or whatever. They watch the players sign these things. This is a very expensive set of cards, by the way. To date, the highest sale for any Messi card from the 22-23 Dynasty UEFA Champions League set is $103,000
wow.
Paid for a one-of-one at Golden Auctions in September of 2024.
Wow, Messi stuff too. Man.
There have been at least 9 public sales of Messi autographs from the set that have topped $5,000 and 3 that have topped $10,000. So again, this is a very expensive set of cards here, and that's your best guy. And
ooh,
PSA, when they don't good. Authenticate, that yeah. that's a really rough look.
Mm.
We can't have these things in our hobby.
How do the
man.
Soccer cards do?
I know that Messi stuff is expensive. I don't.
I mean,
I don't
so the great players
cards,
overseas. How would those cards?
I don't.
Do?
That's not yeah, my right. wheelhouse.
Sorry.
I have no,
we
to
gotta
admit
get
that to you.
We got to get you caught up on some of the soccer.
I know things. That your tennis cards actually some of them do pretty well. Assuming the autographs are real.
Come on, man.
Hey, man.
Now you don't trust anybody.
But that's the problem. When you don't have trust.
How do you go through life never trusting
when
anybody?
When you don't have trust in the hobby, that's you know that's not a good situation. And following up on that with autographs, Joe, I'm curious your thoughts on this. So this site that I get a lot of this stuff from, Collect, there was a story about Livy Dunn, who had been approached by, I guess, a bunch of these lunatic autograph seekers in an airport.
Yeah.
And she was very uncomfortable with it. She was crying about it. And look, I don't know about adults doing this stuff. I personally don't. They put out a poll. Is it okay to ask for an autograph in a public setting? And 60% said no. And by public setting, they're talking about like public places such as hotels, airports, and restaurants. Is it okay to go up to someone? Now, that the poll, by the way, drastically changed when we were talking about kids. And I do think it's fine for kids to do these kinds of things. The problem with adults doing it is it's most of the time they're doing it to make money. Because this stuff has significant value, as you know.
I can tell you the players all believe that everything is going to be sold.
Which a lot of it gets sold, though. That's the problem. I know that there are people out there that do collect, that have personal collections.
I you know, if you're eating dinner, if it's that important,
do you wait for him to go outside the restaurant?
You like, wait for him to leave, finish their dinner, maybe.
Is it?
Because here's the problem: one guy comes up, or one person comes up, and now, and you sign it. Next thing you know, somebody at the table, so why don't you go get it done now? We're about done with our dinner. Get it done.
The problem again is that in the last, I don't know, 5 years maybe, Joe, since COVID, this stuff has seen an unbelievable spike in value. And people know that.
I know one guy that every trip on the road.
I know who you're talking about, yes.
There's one collector out there or two that has 10 to 12 obvious going to be sold to somebody.
Number 13?
Yep.
Yeah. How about when we were at the ACC media days and there was a guy in the lobby with a duffel bag filled with like mini helmets for the college kids to sign?
Good luck trying to get those guys to do it today.
By the way, if we were smart, that should have been us with Cam Ward.
Yeah.
We should have showed up with a duffel bag full of stuff.
How come you didn't have a better feel for that?
Because I'm like the Dolphins. I have no vision. No vision of the future.
All right, you got your shot.
All right, sorry. Our final one here, we're talking about restaurants, Joe. New law here from Governor Ron DeSantis. Florida restaurants must disclose automatic tips and fees. Thank you for this one, by the way, because you ever get the check from a restaurant and you get it. Now they do it on these like little digital, those little handheld things, right? And they hand it to you and you know, some are nice and they go, hey, by the way, we put 18% on this thing.
I got to be honest
with you. Some of them don't let you know and you tip twice.
I am yet to go to a restaurant where somebody says, hey, by the way, we put 18% if you want to add some more, great, but I want to let you know. I got.
Yeah, but how many times have you double tipped, though?
I've double tipped a lot. Matter of fact, I just walked out the door. I don't want to say the restaurant here in South Florida.
Oh, no.
And
did
I looked,
you leave 40%?
I tip well anyway, but I was like, something's not right. And she looked and she goes, you dumbass. They had a fee on there. I said, well, nobody said anything.
I hate this, by the way, because I did this too once at a relatively expensive place. And you never want to be sitting at the table like going through the bill. Right, when you're with a group of people, you don't want to be like that guy that's like going item through item, you know, down the bill. But now they must tell you, Joe.
God,
not that it matters. I mean, you're out of luck anyway after you pay it. But
you just think like if your restaurant's got good food, wouldn't you just do better? Or maybe not. Maybe a lot of people.
I'm fine with it. By the way, if that's what they want to do, they want to put 18 on there. That's fine.
Yeah. 18?
I had one the other day where it had the 18 on there, and it was like you can leave an additional, like, it was like 2, 3, or 4%. It was like an additional couple of bucks.
I've seen
weird.
That recently, too. I don't have a problem with that. Especially if you tip
20%. If you're
going to
charge 18, just be done, right? 18's fair, isn't it?
I don't know.
If that's what they want to put on there, I don't just leave it, isn't it? No, I don't know.
All right, Woody. Well, listen,
sound cheap this morning, but
I know you do.
Isn't 18 is 18 not okay anymore? I don't know.
I'm guessing probably not a lot.
No,
I'm guessing a lot of people.
What are people leaving these days? 20?
When they're 20,
that's not much of a big difference.
You run a big bill, it is. Hey, 8 o'clock hours coming up here.
Expensive.
8 o'clock hours coming up here. I know. Go ahead and take a shot at me now because I said that.
Those bottles of wine you're ordering.
I don't drink wine, so that's, see, you're a dumbass right there. I don't drink wine. I was just waiting for you to make that stupid comment that I'm drinking $200 bottles of wine. I will drink a little expensive tequila, though. Hey, all right, we got to go to break here. Omar Kelly's going to join us. We come back, get caught up with Omar. I'm curious to Omar in this, this soundbite. Man, I'm jacked up to hear Mike come out and Mike making it clear he not dealing with contracts, number one. And number two, we got to start playing some young guys. There are going to be a lot of young guys playing is what I read. Hey, I do want to talk to you about hurricane season. Yeah, protect your home with Loctite Impact windows, doors, and roofing. Hey, there's only one thing you can do you can't control as you see this weather already. The one thing is you never know. We've been lucky last few years and we haven't had the big guy hit us here. But it's just a matter of time, so don't wait. Especially, listen to this. You got an old leaky roof. Replace your old roof now and pay later. Loctite Impact offers the highest quality roofing materials with lifetime warranty plus thousands of five-star reviews. Say big on legendary state-of-the-art Impact windows and doors. Impact windows as low as $3 per window per month installed. Don't wait for the next storm. You don't have to. Get started with Loctite Impact today. Visit LoctiteImpact.com. Again, that's LoctiteImpact.com. Or you can call 954-500-LOCK. They're all over South Florida. Give them a call. They can answer all your questions and get started with Loctite Impact now.